Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, entrepreneur, visionary, information architect, Chris Wise.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Cecilia St. King. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
You know, I'm going to say something. I'm going to say that I can already tell that this is going to be one of my favorite shows that we have done so far. I am so excited about this interview with a guest who is in the process of writing a book, What I Learned from 19 Months in the Federal Prison, a book that I have so far read, and I couldn't put it down already, and with a musical guest who sings about peace and has been endorsed by the United Nations and the Gandhi Institute for Nonviolence, I would say this is a great show already. And it's interesting, what I'm liking about this, especially with our guest, who is Chris Wise, what I'm liking about this is that we're not talking about this after the fact. Chris is still in the middle of all of this story, as you will come to find out. And the fact that he's able to talk about it, and not only is the story fascinating, but the fact that he's able to talk about it while he's still in the middle of this is beyond amazing to me and exciting for me as a host, as an interviewer, and for our show. I talk about life changes, right? And it reminds me of way back before I became conscious a lot of this stuff, or I was very much interested in it. Certainly a lot of people came to me to tell me their woes and all of that. For some reason, I didn't understand at the time that I always seemed to have the right words to say to this person or that person. And there was one person that I never got through to, which is really interesting. And I didn't understand why. I wasn't Everybody else was like, oh, this, you're so great at this and you should be a psychologist or whatever. And this person just kept coming to me and yet nothing seemed to happen. She ended up getting cancer. We were all in the corporate world at the time. She ended up getting breast cancer. And she called me to tell me that she was diagnosed that very day with breast cancer. And she was very stoic. And she says, so I'm making an appointment tomorrow to have them cut them off. And I said, wow. And I guess I did exactly that. I think I stuttered or I paused or I didn't know what to say. And she says, and I think I started to say something. And she says, no, I don't want to hear any of your stuff. These things happen. Okay. It happened to me. So I'm going to have them cut them off and I'm going to go on for the rest of my life. I'm busy. I've got this going. I've got that going. And I wasn't sure that these things just happened. But that wasn't my choice to make for her, and I certainly wasn't in her position. But I said, you know, even if they just happen, I wonder if you could get something out of it while it's happening. No, there's nothing I can get out of it. The only thing I can get out of it is that I have to cut my boobs off, and that's the end of that. And that's what she did. And then she went right back to work as soon as she was able. And then she tried to kill herself a year or so later. And I never heard from her again. And I always wondered if she finally did succeed in killing herself. But I know that she, in my opinion, I can't speak. I didn't have that. I don't have that. I never will have that. But I feel like she might have been able to learn or get something out of the experience that maybe there was something that maybe she needed to listen to her body or her soul or something. Now, reading about Chris Wise's story made me think like, oh, there is nothing more he could have gotten from this experience. He's like, he learned it all. He left nothing in there. And it was like completely the opposite. So I'm going to stop talking now because I can't wait to learn what he learned. We'll be right back with Chris Wise and a little later on, music by Cecilia St. King. all on the Life Changes show right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo Volta, just sitting here now with Mark LeJure, our co-host.
This is the first time. I'm not even sure that I know what to say after that.
Right? I mean, you've read the story so far. You probably, the two of you, talked for hours, I'm
sure.
Yeah,
we did. I'm so excited to have Chris on.
And I'm so jealous.
The story is fantastic. What's even more fantastic about the story is his presence of mind, as you said, not only now as he's still in it, but when he was really in it and when it was evolving. And we like to talk about, you know, improv moments and life,
yeah,
you know, happening.
Yeah.
The information, the wisdom, the gifts that came through him while he was enduring and learning from this process that he was experiencing and now is able to share with us and with his readers and going forward is awesome.
Yes. And very few times in my life do I feel like I want to highlight many things in a book. And this was one of them. Reading this, I thought, I should have been highlighting this stuff. I would love to talk to him more. And here we are. So without further ado,
you get your chance right now. Guess what? Surprise.
Well, you know, saying these titles, he's so much more than this, but I will say them. He is an entrepreneur, a visionary, and an information architect, and so much more. He's Chris Wise, and he's here with us. Welcome to the show, and thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you. It's awesome.
What a pleasure to be able to talk to you in process. Yeah. Can we just tell people why you went to prison? Like that's the least interesting part. Yeah. Very interesting in itself.
Yes. But yeah, so I hired a company to help me get a loan. They did things fraudulently, but because I followed their instructions, I got indicted, and everybody that had gotten a loan from this company got indicted. But because I was an expert in the funding industry, I spoke about this company from stage, referred people to them. The government saw me as like the front man, when the reality was I had done a lot of due diligence on this company, and I thought, they weren't crossing the line doing anything illegal, or I would have never promoted them. But the government worked really hard on me.
Kind of setting you up as an example.
I think so. An example, and I don't want to get too much into this, but for the banking system, and, you know, they don't like people to mess with the banks.
So up until this point, you were living the high life.
I had an amazing life. I was, you know, had a virtual company, so I was traveling the world, living in different countries, and it was awesome. A virtual team, doing well financially, had a beautiful girlfriend from Colombia, and it all came crashing down.
Yeah, he's saying this with a smile on his face. I'm like, he's blowing my mind here, and he's laughing. Look at him. Okay, and then one day you land in Los Angeles, yeah. And the next thing you know.
Yeah, so we had this whole six-month world tour planned out, and we were going to come to Los Angeles. She had never done the Landmark Forum, and I wanted my girlfriend to do the Landmark Forum, and so we're going to be a week in Los Angeles. And as soon as the plane lands, it's taxing. They stop the plane, and they're like, hold on, everybody. Customs needs to come on board. And I'm like, oh, what could this be about? We're sitting in the back row. Next thing I know, these three big black dudes are walking down the aisle, and they stop right next to my chair. And they're like, Christopher Wise. And I look up and I'm like, yeah. They're like, you're under arrest. Come with us.
Wow.
And I'm like, what the? I don't know. Can I use profanity on this show?
Did you use it on the plane?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I guess you can.
So I was like, what the fuck? You know, And so, you know, they handcuffed me and walked me off. And I'm like wide-eyed because everybody's looking at me like I'm a terrorist.
Sure.
And so I'm walking off the plane. I'm like, they have got to have the wrong Christopher Wise, because I couldn't imagine what I could have done that would have gotten me pulled off a plane. And so, no, they're like, no, we got the right Christopher Wise. So they take me, process me at LAX, and then hand me off to the Secret Service. And then I'm like, seriously, you know, what did I do? And then they tell me, and you know, conspiracy for bank fraud, and that's when it happened. Yeah.
So you end up a long story and long process, but you end up in prison.
Yes. Yeah. So
federal prison,
which is actually a lot better than state, from what I hear. So from that aspect, that was good. But yeah, federal prison.
And at one point you thought it was just going to, the 4 month thing, that you thought by the time you got your trial that they would say, okay, you served enough time.
Yeah. Well, so I wasn't able to get bail. They didn't make getting bail for me easy because I'd been traveling internationally. I didn't have any ties to Los Angeles. So, you know, I didn't get bail. And so my attorney thought, I thought, like, there's no way. Why are they going to keep a productive member of society who's running a business, who has employees, who didn't know, you know, the details of what was going on? Why would they keep somebody like me in prison? Well, for whatever reason, I ended up doing, you know, I went to sentencing and I ended up getting a total sentence of 21 months and then served 19.
Wow. Reading that whole process is just fascinating. And so you're separated, obviously, from your family, your girlfriend, your business, and your life, and all of that. It, one day you're living the high life, and the next day it's the lowest of the lows.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go on to describe what that experience was like. I don't know what experience part of it I want to touch on.
Well, I can tell you, when the first day that I was actually in federal prison, this bald-headed white guy, who I later recognized had white power tattooed on his triceps, comes up to me and goes, "What do you run?" And I'm like, "Well, what are you talking about?" He's like, "Well, what do you run? Like, what race are you?" I'm like, "Well, I'm the human race." Mm. And I could tell, I didn't know how deep, like, this culture was.
Well, what do you mean by, like, what did you think you were saying by human race? Were you being funny?
No, or, I'm no, like, I'm like, you didn't a understand. Human being.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't realize the depth of how segregated at the time, this is my first day, actually, how prison was. And I later learned about all these crazy rules and how stuff is structured.
Now, when we get back, we're going to talk about some of the in-depth stuff that you came out of this with, or works as far as consciousness. But you had been doing some consciousness studies before, right?
Yes.
And what was that?
Yeah, so I was very... interesting. Before I answer that, about a year before this actually happened, I said, I want to go away for 6 months to a year and, like, meditate.
Oh, no. No.
I didn't realize that the universe was actually going to have the government fund this awakening process for me.
Nice. I was going to have the government fund it.
But yeah, so I had learned this practice from a spiritual mentor of mine named Matt Kahn, and his whole thing is whatever arises, love that. And so I'd been doing this practice where, to my own heart, my own innocence, my own inner child, my heart space, every day I would say the words, I love you. I love you. I love you. And I would just say those words over and over again to my own heart. And it was that practice, when I went into prison, that transformed and really took me deep into some really horrible stuff that I've been avoiding my whole life.
Really?
So, for example, things that I've been avoiding: fear, sadness, loneliness, boredom. Because I had created this amazing lifestyle. Whenever I would, I never felt bored. Whenever I would feel sad, I would use, you know, this personal development stuff of state change and let me feel good. And so all, because I had done so much personal development work and business stuff, and all that, generally speaking, all that stuff is basically teaches you to always stay in a powerful state so that you can go out and create and accomplish your dreams. But what that also did was it avoided me from fully feeling all of the emotions that were wanting to be felt. Because what I came to learn is that whatever is arising to be experienced, and that what you're feeling is healing.
Wow.
But I didn't feel safe enough to fully feel all these different emotions. So I had a lifetime of unfelt sadness. I had a lifetime of unfelt fear and anger and boredom. And so it was through the depth of this practice of loving my own heart that I began to feel safe to fully feel this.
Loving my own heart. We're going to talk more about that when we come back. Wow. We're talking with Chris Wise. You can learn more about him at chriswise.com. That's Chris, C-H-R-I-S, Wise, W-I-S-C.com. A little later on, we'll give an actual email address where you can connect with him because he works with businesses and systems, and we'll talk about that as well. All so much more when we come back here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. We are... we're talking with Chris Wise. I'm Filippo Voltaggio and Mark Lejeur. Mark, you were saying during the break.
I wanted to chime in a little bit on that. The last point that you were making on the what you were feeling is healing. But before that, the life that you had created masking, if you will, these other emotions. And because I think there's so many people that can relate to this and don't even realize it.
Yeah.
And a lot of our listeners know some of my backstory but before even the business wave of it, which is more the more commonly known part of my story, what had led me into business was actually a pretty treacherous broken relationship. And so I immersed myself into this career 24/7. And it just, when you said that, it rang a bell as to how distant I had become from the emotions that I never really dealt with.
Yeah.
Much less the backstory that any of us have going back to childhood and what things may have, you know, led to that manifestation. So such a hugely powerful point that you bring up, and I think that everybody could take a look at in their journey.
Yeah, and I realized one of the things that I was so driven to create the level of success was really cover up such a deep lack of self-worth and how I wanted all these things to external validations to give me the self-worth, but that just created a whole other identity.
Yeah, because to everybody else looking at you on stage or seeing you fly around the country and all that, you had it all.
Yeah.
You had it going on. And there are other things that you seem to, I didn't know you then, but I don't think I'd see what I see in front of me right now or feel what I feel. Is that
totally? You'd get the sky. It would be this whole image of success, and it wasn't a depth of authenticity and a comfort to just step into just this space of emptiness of being that I've discovered and been able to settle into.
You've discovered a lot of things. And again, the book, I could have highlighted so many aspects of the book, and rarely do I care to do that these days. So it really spoke to me. One of the stories that I found interesting is the first time, and I was expecting this. It's like, okay, he's going to get beat up. I just know it. And I didn't want it to happen, but it sure would make a great story.
Yeah.
And then it happened.
Yep.
All right. So.
Yeah. So, well, first off, it's important to understand prison is an environment of violence. The threat of violence is always there. And this is a place where people act tough. They put up walls of toughness. They have this prison name. And they do that because the idea is if you show vulnerability in prison, you'd be viewed as weak. And if you're viewed as weak, then you could be preyed upon. And so people group together by their race to feel safe. But you have this group of people who are all these walls of toughness, but inside there's repressed sadness and anger and fear. And so that just creates this environment of always the threat of violence. And so, you know, I've had a lot of martial arts training like Krav Maga and Taekwondo, but I made a decision that when I went into prison, I would not respond to violence with violence. And so I was like, well, what would I do? In my cell, I'd be thinking like, what would I do if somebody tried to come up and fight me? And because I'd been doing this practice of loving my heart, I thought, I wonder what would happen if I told somebody I love them.
This is crazy.
When they were going to try to come up and fight me. And guess what? I had the opportunity to find out what would happen. So one day I was playing cards with this old man. He was kind of an unstable kind of guy. And I don't remember what happened to set him off. I might have beat him at a hand of cards or something. But all of a sudden he stands up and he goes, come on, let's fight right now. Like, let's fight. And I'm like, and there's a table between us. And I stand up and I look him in the eyes and I go, I love you. I love you. And you could just see his facial composure. He just starts to kind of shake a little bit. He turns and walks away, like fast-paced walks away. And it just blew my mind.
Because he's like, this guy's crazier than I am.
I don't know what he was thinking.
No.
But he was afraid of me ever since.
Oh, seriously? It's like, he's a crazy guy to think he can say, I love you. He must know something.
It was wild.
But you did that more than once.
I did. Well, the second time didn't work out as well. There was a white supremacist that came into our unit, and he was part of the Aryan Brotherhood, 6'4", 250 pounds, all tatted up. And this guy just did not like me. He didn't like me because I was actually kind and nice to other races, because I said, I'm not going to buy into this bullshit prison mentality where if you're this race, and they had all these crazy rules like, oh, you can't play cards with the blacks, or you can't do business with the Mexicans. I mean, just like crazy rules. And so I said, like, no, I'm a human being. These are human beings. I'm going to, you know, treat them with love and kindness. And I'm going to be vulnerable. If I'm sad, I'm, you know, not going to, you know, try to act all tough. And so he was like the complete opposite of me. And so one day he just comes into my cell, no talking, slaps me hard across the face. And I get down into like a meditative type of pose. I put my hands up and I go, I don't want to fight. He goes, get up. And I say, no. The next thing I know, this guy's jumping down, has his hands around my neck and is choking me out. Now so here's what's interesting is as soon as he came.
Oh, it's all interesting. Trust me.
As soon as he comes in, I start loving my own heart. Just to my own heart. I love you. I love you. And I was like sighing so hard.
You know, sounds so, because to be in a flowery garden somewhere and loving your own heart, I get that. Now put yourself in that situation. I mean, that's like the ultimate.
It's not the first thing that people would think to do.
It's like, and then I sat down and loved my own heart.
But see, I was doing this for 2 to 4 hours a day. I was either meditating or loving my heart. So this, you know, this was where my focus was.
Okay.
And so I was like, I in the back of my mind, it was say it loud enough so he can hear you. Say it loud enough so he can hear you. But I was still just loving my own heart. And so he's choking me out. I black out for a tenth of a second. And what was so amazing about this, I actually had an out-of-body experience where my consciousness saw what was going on, saw him over top of me choking me out. It was like a fraction, a tenth of a second.
Wow.
But what was amazing about that out-of-body experience was I got the feeling of what it's like to not be in a body. And the consciousness that I feel when I'm in a body, it's the same. It's just I'm not in a body. And so there's three things I'll tell you here in a minute, what I got from that experience. But he's on top of me, choking me out. I black out. He gets off. And then he starts trying to come back at me and start punching me, trying to punch me. But I put my guard up, right? Mm-hmm. So like, I'm not going to let him hurt me if I can stop it, right? So he's trying to get in. He can't get into my guard. And then, he backs away. And so finally I say it loud enough. And he's back across the room and I go, I love you.
Wow.
And it makes him so angry. He like picks up this thing and chucks it at me. Mm-hmm. And he was so angry. But to me, that was my defining moment in prison where I responded to violence on me with love.
Wow. Well, as if that isn't enough, you say you learned three things from that experience. Yeah.
So the first was, I cannot be destroyed.
Wow.
I can die. This physical body something can happen to it. But the essence, my spirit, my consciousness cannot be destroyed.
Wow.
The second thing that I got was that life itself is a gift. And it's not even my life. So I used to think like, this is my life and I'm going to do this and that. Life itself is a gift. And the third thing is that no matter what, I will follow my heart even until death.
Wow. Wow. Well, look at you. Wow. I can't imagine. And why, this is why I was so excited about this, because here you are, someone who's been through that experience and can not only come out like this, but have all this knowledge and share it right now. Because A, it hasn't been that long. How long has it been?
A year and a quarter.
And B, you're also still in a certain period thing, right?
Yeah, and it hasn't been easy. You know, getting out of prison, there's been a lot of shame about what I've gone through and how people perceive me. There's been some friends that haven't even wanted to talk to me anymore. I've had fear about, hey, if I share this story, like, because I love systems and structure and growing businesses and scaling companies. I'm amazing at doing it. I've been afraid that if I share this story, like, it could impact what I really want to do. And I just, but I started to tell people. And as I realized the impact of my story and how it's really touched people, I was like, you know, it just encouraged me to share it more. And then the first time I actually had the opportunity to share this in front of a large group of people, I mean, it was very impactful. And
was that maybe metal?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
But that's where you two met on a metal, right? Thanks to Metal.
Metal International.
Yeah.
It's great organization. But what I realized is that the more that I share this story, the more free that I feel. And so now I want to share this.
You have, and you just did again. And we thank you for that. Now, the interesting thing for me is, if I needed someone to help me with my business, I think to have somebody who knows systems and was able to help businesses before, and now you come out of this experience with this kind of knowledge and depth of consciousness, I can't imagine what you're going to be doing with businesses in helping them. To me, that's expansion from business the way we've known it and consciousness the way where we're going.
Yes.
I think you're primed for being able to to lead that.
Yeah. And there's some major shifts that are occurring. And I see that business, how we actually do business, will transform. I mean, there's this whole mentality around, you know, seeing business as competition and like the war. I think the idea of business in the context of war, anything that any thing that gets arisen out of, we need to battle it, we need to go to war, we need to fight against it, only creates more problems.
Mm.
But when we can shift our perspective, no matter what it is, the war on drugs, the war on whatever, right? When we can shift from a place in our consciousness to a place, yes, we still need to create solutions, but how do we do that in the most loving way? And I still think competition is great. It lowers prices and all that stuff. But there is a shift that's occurring in business, and I am excited to be a part of that shift. And as I help companies scale and bring this new consciousness into the companies I work with.
It's an interesting shift when, during the old office beatdown, where the boss is yelling at the employee to get that presentation in, and you're a slacker and all those other things, and the response is, I love you.
Yeah.
When we come back, I do want to talk a little bit more about what you do bring to companies now, a combination of everything that you've brought in through you all this time, your business and now this consciousness. When we come back, I definitely want to talk about that and what people can look forward to, actually, from what you have to share. Again, we're talking to Chris Wise, chriswise.com, actually. That's one way you can connect with him. And when we come back, we'll give an email address, chriswise.com. And after that, little music by Cecilia St. King. Can't wait to have her join us here in the studio, all live here at Studio NoHo on the Life Changes Show right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life, and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We'll be right back. Listen to me. I'm so
again.
Yes.
We're right back again.
We are right back again. And we are, but we're in a completely different place than where we were when we started this conversation. As a matter of fact, I said, there's so much in this book so far. Do you mind if I read a chapter real quick?
Sure.
I mean, a chapter. Can I just read the book to everybody?
Yeah.
Just this one paragraph, and it's actually the last paragraph. I don't know what life holds for me. I do know that the Chris that went into prison is not the same Chris that came out. The insatiable drive that I have felt my entire life is gone. In its place, what I feel is a massive space of love that continues to expand every day as I love myself more deeply and I learn how to love others more deeply. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so you take yourself into a business and you look at their systems and help them grow and all that. What part does this play in that?
Yeah. And let me just comment on the drive thing. You know, it's when I went into prison, I just completely let go. You know, I wanted that experience to erase or destroy whatever elements of myself that I couldn't see that were holding me back.
Mm.
And, you know, I've always been a very driven person, but what's interesting now is that drive is coming back, but it's coming back from a much different space than where it was before. And I love creating systems. I love organizing information. And so now I'm helping companies scale. And so scaling is a process to create and experience massive and dramatic growth inside of a business. And I do that. There's three primary areas of focus when I'm working with a business. And my sweet spot really is working with companies that are from 1 million to 10 million. Although I am able to help companies that are under a million, there's really three key areas. The first is creating strategic, being very strategic in their vision. The second is execution and making sure that however that business is working, they're creating, they have a high performance team and they're actually operating in a way that just is very efficient. And then the third way is through metric-based results, that whatever that company is looking to create, there is a metric behind it so that it can be measured. Mm. So when we have a strategically aligned vision, when we have high performance execution, and when we have results-based metrics, that is the elements of a company that's really can perform and create results.
Mark, did you feel the shift in how he was starting to talk about the business aspect? He got into like this business mind, and yet we didn't lose the rest of what we were talking about, which I would love to see.
It brought a little bit of old Chris forward.
In more leaders.
Just the good stuff.
Well, right. It's like we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's businesses. I mean, the level of transformation that this world needs to see in solving massive problems, mm-hmm. you know, the hunger and the water solutions and the pollution and all the different problems that are out there. Mm-hmm. It's through technology. It's through business. It's through commerce that these problems will get solved. Mm-hmm. And there definitely is a space for, you know, people who are, you know, very kind and caring and loving themselves, but perhaps just have a job and stay at home and do that. You know, they are definitely playing a very key role in from an energetic standpoint in their role and involvement in us bringing about a higher level of consciousness and solutions to the world at whole. But in order for these things to actually happen, it requires people that are connected, that have money, that have solutions, that can know how to put massive things together and scale. And that occurs through business.
I had this vision, there's visual of somebody planting a seed in the ground, and then people standing around and putting energy, you know, to help the seed grow or the plant be strong or whatever. But somebody actually had to till the soil and somebody actually had to plant the seed. So everybody has their job. And I love the fact that you're including the energy of it or the love of yes. it so that it has a place.
Yeah, because all hearts are connected. And so for the person that is just at home, you know, they have their job, but they are loving their own heart, just one I love you at a time. I love you. I love you. Through that, all hearts are blessed because we're all connected.
I also have to say for our listeners that can't see you, when you go into that
yeah.
right now here yeah. and before on this show, you're not just saying it to relay the information. Yeah. You step right into it. I can yeah. feel you're the authenticity of that self-love. It's really
yeah,
interesting.
His heart, his hand goes to his heart and his whole demeanor changes.
You know how people like, tell stories and they're just like, yeah, and I just did this.
No, exactly.
And, but he drops right into the truthful connection.
And this was part of the exciting thing about this experience that we're having here, getting to have this conversation, is that where he's sharing it from, like, from not only from the story, but I can't imagine it being any other way. Knowing what I know is you cried a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like every day in prison, and you know, 80% of the time I had a celly, and we're in this small space. I mean, for 19 months I lived.
And
in
a celly's not a cell phone. It's somebody
oh,
else in the.
That's like the nickname for the person that you're okay. living with
right.
in your cell.
Okay.
Yeah, your celly. Yeah, yeah. And so, you're like, I'm living in the bathroom, the size of most people's bathroom.
Right.
With a bunk bed, with another man, with the toilet in there.
Yeah, it's actually a bathroom because the toilet's there, right?
Right, right, yeah. And so, you know, I learned how to cry silently where I would be wailing, but it was like, you know, my mouth's open, tears are pouring down, and, you know, I just did what I had to do.
So what I'm getting out of the way he's sharing the story is like he really processed so much to be able to share the story this soon after at this in this way.
I made a conscious intention when I was in there that when I got out, I didn't want to have a lot of unresolved stuff that I had to deal with. And so I very consciously set the intention that I was going to love my heart so deeply that all the tough and horrible and all the pain that I felt in there, I was just going to be so kind and loving to myself so that I didn't even have stuff carrying forward more than, you know, what I'm already dealing with.
Were you already, when did you come in contact with Matt Kahn's work? Was he already a mentor before you went in?
Yeah, December of 2010. And I went in August of 2013. So 2.5 years.
So he was already in your consciousness, which is why you were armed with some of these tools. I was curious how you arrived at some of this in that environment to be able to put it to practice.
Well, he was preparing himself because he said to the universe, it's like, I want to take 6 months to a year off and I don't want to pay for it.
Well,
an exercise and manifestation.
No, I didn't say that.
I hope I'm not.
No. It's all good. I mean,
so why are you sharing your story?
Yeah. I have realized that the stuff that I've gone through, it touches people. And I feel like if there was anything that I would want somebody to remember from what I'm saying, it's just loving your own heart. It's so powerful. You know, so often we neglect our own selves. And when, you know, and so we'll try, like we create these things like, oh, I'm going to go out and be kind, or I'm going to go out and pay it forward and do all this stuff. Like we're outwardly focused. But when we focus on loving our own heart, our own selves, just one I love you at a time, I love you, I love you, I love you. We then step into a space where the love that we have developed inside of ourselves will naturally flow into the world, where being kind and loving to other people isn't effort. It just happens.
So this was your experience. And as we know, this isn't the only way to come to this understanding. And so that's why I shared the story about the woman having breast cancer, and some people, God forbid, lose a child. Some people or a spouse, or some people lose their business, some people lose all their money, whatever it is, right? They end up homeless. So it's the process that you went through, in your case, the loving your heart and telling yourself, I love you. At one point, even writing it on the wall, right?
Yeah, I wrote it on the wall, yeah.
Next
to, so I could always see
where
it.
You lay your head.
Yep.
Yeah. Crazy stuff. I mean, crazy, wonderful. Well, no, some of it didn't. Anyway, So it's these processes. And so I would love to see you go out and teach these processes, but I have a feeling in your systems, do you build any of this in?
No, it's something. Well, the answer is yes, but not directly. You know, when I'm out working with businesses, this will just naturally come across. I mean, I actually see business as an act of love. When, and this I think is a unique perspective on business, when as an entrepreneur, you pay your employees, when you create a structure, that's a way of loving somebody else.
Wow.
And I think when we become more, when people who are running businesses and doing these things, we actually begin to recognize that's actually a love and kindness to other people. It actually transforms how you think about your business.
Wow.
But you don't have to say, and it's kind of actually kind of weird if you were, as a boss, go to your employee and say, I love you. Like, that's not necessarily appropriate.
No weirder than telling the guy that's about to beat you up your ass in jail that you love him. Well, I don't know.
I think it's all contextual, right? It's whatever you feel is appropriate and is comfortable. And obviously, I'm sure there's relationships where bosses tell their employees, I love you. But a lot of times in a work, there's an energy of work. And when you bring in, a lot of times I feel like if you get too spiritually or too lovey, it takes away from the energy of productivity and work. But that doesn't mean that those energies are not loving or kind. They are. So I see love more than just being like the emotion of love as we relate to it. I actually see all emotions being on this spectrum of love, and actually every energy, you know, even energies like or emotions like sadness and anger, those are actually different reflections of love that are meant to read. And the purpose of them is to actually meant to return us to love and loving our own selves. So just like emotions that we don't feel good to feel, higher in emotions like energy and joy and freedom and all passion, all these are also expressions of love.
Chris, I just think we started another show. So we're going to have to pause this one and have that conversation another time. And it would be and will be a pleasure. In the meantime, we were going to give an email address out, right?
Yes. Yeah. If you would like to contact me, you can at chris@chriswise.com. That's chriswise.com. And that's chris@chriswise.com.
Okay, and obviously Chris Wise's website, and of course you do speaking engagements and work one-on-one with businesses.
Yes.
So such a pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much for sharing your story and for sharing your heart with us. We'll be right back with our musical guest, Cecilia St. King, right after this on The Life Changes Show.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Marc Legere and, of course, our guest Chris Wise. And joining us in the studio is Cecilia St. King.
Hey,
singer, so songwriter, and she is the Inner Peace Troubadour. As I mentioned earlier, she has been endorsed by the United Nations and the Gandhi Institute for Nonviolence. What a pleasure to have you here.
So happy to be here.
And just yesterday, you did a fundraiser for IONS.
That's right, Institute of Noetic Sciences.
Indeed, and you do
and
this kind of
now.
Thing throughout the whole country, and we talked about how you're like peace pilgrim of music.
I am like peace. Well, that's a very lofty goal to have, to be like peace.
She walked,
pilgrim.
You drive.
Right.
But, you know, she talked, you sing.
Exactly. We're doing a very similar project, yeah. Yeah. But I'm not sleeping under telephone poles and tunnels, and she was such a blessing. Yeah.
And just relying on the kindness of strangers. But
well,
this
that,
is
I,
a
do.
You
that
do
I do.
Oh, you do
absolutely.
That
I do. Absolutely. I'm incredibly blessed by the wonderful people in our world, in our planet, yeah.
You know, your story is so varied as well, from becoming having cancer, not becoming a nun, but going into a monastery and living out also in a small room,
right?
A cell of sorts, as you described it. So so all of these experiences, you obviously put them into your music, I would imagine.
Absolutely, everything, every part of who I am, every experience that I've had. I tell a story and I sing a song about it. And I think people can relate to it because, like Chris's story, we have tragedy in our lives. We have, you know, opportunities to overcome things that are really hard. And we get through.
Well, Cecilia, what are we going to hear first?
So actually, this is the last song that I wrote.
The last song that you wrote? Like how long ago?
Like just a couple months ago.
Wow, this is fresh off the press.
Yeah.
Well, what is it called?
It's called Tumbling Down.
Tumbling Down.
Yeah.
Okay,
I
well,
think
here's
it took
Cecilia.
Me about 15 years to write it, actually.
Oh, exactly. Very good. All right, here's Cecilia King singing Tumbling Down live on the Life Changes Show at Studio NoHo.
You know the stars shine brightest in the darkest hour. When chaos reigns, oh Lord, when it rains in the murkiest water, blooms the most beautiful flower. When chaos reigns, oh, when it rains, 'cause there's a purpose to the chaos, to collapse and create a new, 'cause you never know what God's got planned for you. And I may not know what I am doing, but what I do know, God knows what God is doing. So let God reign when chaos reigns. So let it come falling down, let it come tumbling down, let it come crashing down all around. Let it come falling down, let it come tumbling down, let it come crashing down around and around. 'Cause I'm spirit, you are spirit, we are spirit. Isn't it amazing? And we will rise up, we will shore up, we will build up, 'cause we are amazing. You cry, how could this have happened? As you fall to your knees, begging, Lord, give me an answer. Please. The road would not have been taken had your life not fallen apart. So let it rain when chaos reigns, 'cause there's a purpose to the chaos, to collapse and create a new, 'cause you never know what God's got planned for you. And I may not know what I am doing, but what I do know, God knows what God is doing. So let God reign when chaos reigns. So let it come falling down, let it come tumbling down, let it come crashing down all around. Let it come falling down, let it come tumbling down, let it come crashing down around and around. 'Cause I am spirit, you are spirit, we are spirit. Isn't it amazing? And we will rise up, we will shore up, we will build up, 'cause we are amazing. And I am spirit, you are spirit, we are spirit. Isn't it amazing? And we will rise up, we will shore up, we will build up, 'cause we are amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah is an understatement. Cecilia St. King, tell me that I think it's amazing that you are here to sing this particular song
after Chris just told that story.
Were you planning to sing that song regardless, or was that you said I have to do this song.
I had to sing the song.
You did.
Yeah. I was going to sing something a little happier and jovial, you know.
Well, this is happy.
But that is happy. I mean, life is, you know, we're spirit. We always overcome. Every tragedy in my life has made me a better person.
This reminds me of what Chris said, what he learned.
And I didn't even know I was going to be on the show till just a few days ago.
and we didn't know you were going to be on the show.
That's right. See how spirit works.
When Spirit took our guest and put her on tour.
Yes. And I was on tour here.
And you were on tour here.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
You know, that's kind of the way I believe that when you surrender to the universe being supportive and loving and kind, and when we really learn that deep within ourselves, it gives you a sense of confidence. And, you know, I'm out there on the road, and like Peace Pilgrim, sometimes there's a days when I don't know where I'm going to lay my head. Yeah. Although I do have a motorhome, but I might be laying my head on the side of a street. Yeah. But I have a very comfortable motorhome, and I'm really secure inside of it. But I just never know from day to day, and I just trust and I surrender. All my needs are taken care of. Everything I ask for, I'm given. It's really kind of amazing. And I believe that we have that capacity within each and every one of us to be able to create our realities as we go along.
Hear, hear.
Wonderful.
And not everything bad that happens, quote unquote, to us is for our bad. It could potentially be for our good, as Chris has talked about, as you sing about. Right. What are we going to hear next? Oh, I wanted to give your website out, Cecilia St. King. Cecilia is C-E-C-I-L-I-A-S, Saint, S-T. KING.com. Right. CeciliaSaintKing.com. And that's where people can not only get your music, but also they can see where you're touring, right?
Right.
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 So what is this song that we're going to hear now?
So I was at the World Trade Center when the buildings fell on that fateful day of 9/11.
And yet another experience.
And 6 months later, and I wound up with cancer in my throat. So I took off and I went to a monastery in New Zealand. I got really quiet and did a lot of prayer and a lot of meditation, a lot of study, and a lot of vacuuming. Just because you're in a monastery doesn't mean you don't get to do chores. You have to do chores. When I got back to the United States, we were going to war. And this was the first song that I wrote, and I think it's still prevalent today.
What is it called?
It's called Standing in the Fire.
Standing in the Fire. Wow. Okay. Well, here's Cecilia St. King singing live at Studio NoHo on the Life Changes Show, Standing in the Fire.
Standing in the fire, and I cannot be burned. Winds whipping in my hair, and I cannot be turned. Tidal waves, they rise and fall. The moment is profound. Standing in the center, it's myself that I found. Standing in the fire, and I cannot be burned. This tide inside quenches this yearning beyond sword and fire. The self is everlasting, never changing, ever knowing, and the wheels keep on moving. Take a step back, sit still and watch the flow. I breathe and feel and feel and breathe. And then I let it go. Inside the dragon's lair, the hydra head is lurking. My shadow waits around the turn, yet I hear my soul note calling. Well, take me to the crucifix. I hear my soul note calling. Well, let me fall and fall so hard into my soul note calling. Ongo vaspa tatsami to. Show, die, yacht, die, yo, yo.
Cecilia St. King, thank you so much. No coincidence that you are on the show today. And come to find out, you take your ministry of music to the prisons and the jails.
Absolutely. I'll be in San Quentin on August 21st.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. What a beautiful... didn't I tell you this was going to be one of the greatest shows?
It's an amazing combination.
And it was. Let me give your website out one more time. And by the way, on our website at lifechangesshow.com, I put one of Cecilia St. King's Peace on Earth songs, where she actually has a video of New York filmed like at midnight in Times Squares, right?
Yes, it's fabulous.
And she's singing Peace on Earth. You want to hear that, and you'll find it at lifechangesshow.com. But also, you'll find it on your YouTube channel.
On my YouTube and my website. I've got plenty of videos on my website.
Okay, and so go to ceciliasaintking.com. Cecilia, thank you very
thank
much.
You
what
so
a
much.
Pleasure to
it was
have
such
you here.
A wonderful experience.
And
thank you, Felicia.
So glad thank it worked
Mark.
Out.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah. Yeah.
Chris Wise, thank you for being here with us. This is quite amazing, and we look forward to learning more about your journey and you sharing more.
And thank you, thank you to Brent and to Dorothy.
Yes,
too.
Of course. Yeah. We want to thank Brent here at Studio NoHo, Brent Hahn, for making us all sound so good. And we want to thank Doug Newsom at BBS Radio for being program manager. On behalf of Dorothy Donahue, our executive producer, and Mark Legere, our producer, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you, as your life changes, like ours just did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.